Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 256.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 256. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. So this particular episode is going to be on a Bud Powell solo over a tune called All of God's Children Got Rhythm. And it's really, really cool. I mean, Bud Powell is one of the masters of bebop and obviously a jazz giant, jazz history influencer, and really paved the way for a lot of amazing other amazing pianists and artists, jazz artists to come from his particular style and whatnot. But the main purpose of this particular episode is going to be to really unify and demonstrate everything that I've been teaching you and showing you in the last couple episodes, the series on bebop. Hopefully at this point, after you've listened back to all of these episodes, the string of bebop, you're going to be able to really start to see the Matrix, as I like to see, right? If you've seen the Matrix, obviously in Matrix number one, at the very end of the movie, Neo is kind of like seeing the code now of the Matrix, right? And so before, a lot of students may have looked at bebop and been like, wow, this just looks like a lot of notes. I don't really know what's going on. After you listen to the last four podcast episodes I've done on bebop, hopefully now you can look at bebop lines and be like, oh, wow, that's really what's happening here. That's what this person was intending to do. That was their thought process in the moment. That's what's happening. And you can really start to work on it in your own way too. And, you know, obviously the more you understand it, the more it's going to translate into your own playing. And a lot of times, the issue that I have with so many people studying jazz or music, for that example, is that we just play transcriptions, and I did this a lot, without really understanding them. And knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. When you can understand what an artist is doing, you're effectively going to be able to utilize it 100 times better than if you were just to play it without the understanding or the knowledge of what's happening. Right? So now that you understand what's going to be happening in this particular transcription that I'm going to be showing you, because you've learned it, you're going to be like, oh, wow, I get it. I understand it. I can start to practice it. I can use it. It opens so many more doors when you understand the elements, the jazz elements, the concepts, the theoretical approaches, rather than just pulling up a transcription of some pianist and playing it without knowing what they're doing. That's not going to help you that much. And that's normally one of the huge reasons in jazz that I have an issue with, which is mostly why people end up failing at learning jazz. I did for so many years. It's one of the major reasons I started Jazz Piano School, to help educate you all, give you the knowledge, explain the concepts to you so you can go in and start to do it yourself in a much more easy, efficient, and optimal way. All right? If you're listening for the first time, we do have a membership available. Go to jazzpianoschool.com to check that out. And obviously, we have a lot of free education as well, podcast, blog, lick of the week, so on and so forth. And I think that's all I got for you today. So let's dive right in. Here we go. All right, so I'm going to be starting here at letter F, and obviously you have the image there available to you to start to follow along with, but this is kind of starting in the middle of the solo because I really want to highlight a lot of the lines that Bud was playing and the bebop approaches he was using. So right off the bat, we have lots of 2-5-1. So we have a 2-5-2-5-2-5-1, okay? So essentially, we're going from B minor 7 to E7, A minor 7 to D7, G minor 7 to C7, down to the 1. So the way he starts to work at this, check it out. He's going to start from the root. Now, his approach is into the third of the E dominant 7 chord. Now, you need to remember, back in the bebop days, the bebop players weren't really thinking about the 2 minor. Normally, they're thinking about the dominant chord. So that's why he's approaching this third of the E7 on beat 2 with the 5 of the E7 chord. So he's thinking 5, 4, 3. He's not thinking 1, 7, and then some note that's out of, you know, B minor. He's thinking about this as being E7, right? So he's just going 5, 4, 3. Now, as he comes up, he's going to place one note, which is, again, is the 5 of E7, right? Of E7. He's going to land on the 7. Now, as I start to go through this, check out how many chord tones Bud is landing on the downbeats when the chord changes, especially when the chord changes, right? Now, obviously, there's some variance to that, but for the most part, that's what's happening. Right? So here's the 7 of the E7 chord. Now, this next passage is just a bebop approach into the 5 of the A minor chord, right? So he's going to go. All right? So again, what particular bebop approach is he using here, right? I've taught you this. You should know it from all the other podcasts, right? So essentially, he has chord scale below. Here, he's going to essentially chord scale above. He's actually using a flat 9 over the E7 chord, right? This is a flat 9. So he's going chord scale below, chord scale above, chord scale below, half step below, into that E natural, which is now the 5 of the A minor 7 chord, right? So he's doing this. Okay, so let's check out the line here. 7, bebop approach, into that 5 of the A minor 7. Now, a lot of the next upcoming notes, that's just an arpeggio. Again, lots of bebop is arpeggios of chord tones and bebop approaches strung together with some scalar motion too. Just scalar motion going up and down the modes. That's it. That's really it. Down arpeggio, down the chord tone here. He jumps back up to the flat 9 of the D7. Now, what is this, right? So he's using the flat 9. Did I say flat 7 bar? I meant flat 9. Flat 9 of the D7. He's coming down into another bebop approach that falls into the G minor. Chord scale above, chord half step below, into the third of the G minor. Now, all that happens is he connects with the D. So he goes flat 9, root. He's just putting a note in between the bebop approach and the flat 9 that he started on. Here's where the bebop approach starts. All right, so he has an arpeggio going down. Now again, more chord tone arpeggiation happening here. He jumps up to the 7 of the G minor 7. So what is that? That's just arpeggiation of the chord. 7, 5, 3. Now here, what he's doing is he's going to fall into the 13. He's going to go to the 3, flat 9, 7. So this particular instance of what he's doing, the conceptual idea of what's happening is he's taking more or less a chord, right? Which is this chord right here. So this is a very common chord actually in jazz where you have the flat 7, flat 9, 3, 13, natural 13. And all he's doing is breaking that up. Now that's not what I covered in the previous episodes, obviously, but it is just an arpeggiation of a chord. You need to remember that. It's just an arpeggiation of this chord. So he hits the third of the G minor, he arpeggiates the G minor, and then he arpeggiates another chord that he's probably played a lot. Again, the 13, third, flat 9, flat 7. And then finally, he jumps back up to the 9. So this is the an example of a delayed resolution, right? He's not hitting a chord tone right on beat 1 of the F chord, right? Or F6 chord. He's hitting a 9. But where does his next chord tone fall? It falls on beat three when he hits an A. So it's a delayed resolution, right? So he hits this nine. Right on beat three is where he hits the third of the chord. So finally he's resolved to a chord tone, right? So now he's on that A. So here, again, he's just messing around with bebop approaches, but obviously they're not falling on downbeats. He hits that G, but again, it's just a bebop approach, right? So chord scale above, root, half step below, root, then he resolves to the A. And he keeps going, and guess what he does? He just arpeggiates a little bit more. Right now, back in the bebop era, they weren't really thinking about major seventh chords. Those, you know, there were major seventh chords, but again, most bebop players were thinking sixth chords. Right? So again, this was kind of more of like the E natural here is more of a chord scale approach into the six. He does make a skip now. So he jumps to, this is going to be really funny too, a B natural over an E minor 7 flat 5. So what's going on here really is that he's approaching the third of the A7. So again, he's not thinking about the E minor 7 flat 5 over this chord. What he's thinking here is thinking 9 over the A7. Right? So he's thinking 9, chord scale below, half step below, into the 3. Now, a lot of times when you would, if you weren't, you know, familiar with this education and you'd go to play a transcription, you'd look at it and be like, oh, why is this? Oh, he made a mistake there, right? No, not necessarily. Now, obviously, transcriptions, you do have mistakes, but in this particular case, guarantee you Bud was thinking 9, right, over the A7, leading into the third of the A7 chord. So there's the third, right? So he hits a 9, it's a delayed resolution. He hits a chord tone on beat two, really. You can forget about that E minor 7 flat 5 chord, right? So he does this. He leads back down into the root with the use of a flat 9. Very common bebop move is to use that flat 9 to lead down into the root, right? Root. Now again, the passing tone between the root, and the 7 is called a bebop scale. It's a bebop scale. Right? So he goes 1, passing tone, 7. This allows the root and the 7 to land on downbeats to continuously hit chord tones on downbeats. Then all he does is stick a simple half step below approach into the third of the D minor. So let me play this line for you again. I'll play with the A7 chord so you can hear it more functionally rather than playing the E minor 7 flat 5. Now in the moment, you probably won't even know. You can barely even hear the rub between the B natural and the B flat because of the lead in to the harmonies he's playing over the A7. Because it's going to A7, your ear doesn't even realize that there's a clash there, right? Because it's leading into that A7. It kind of guides you into the A7 harmony. Sorry. So you can kind of hear that lead in. So again, slowly, half step below, lands on the third of the D minor 7, and he just jumps down to another chord tone. Again, you're starting to see how many chord tones are actually being used in this. So he goes, what is that? Just a very easy chromatic approach into the third. So right? So once he hits this D natural, right, on the downbeat of 3, on the upbeat of 3, he just falls into chromatic approach down into the third. So again, from here, 9, root, chromatic, right? So just a couple chromatics to lead him into the third of the G7. Now again, more arpeggiation of chord tones. So this time, he just moves up a rootless voicing, which is very common. He'll go 3, 5, 7, 9, right? And what he does here again is put a half step below approach to get him into the third. So, right? Now here, what's funny about this is because he's landing on the B flat actually, which is the downbeat, okay, of beat three. So technically, as he's doing this, right, you're having the downbeat, and then this is on the upbeat. So again, all of these things can be played. Again, there's no hardened rule, like 100% time you have to land on chord tones, right? But if you do get yourself or play a situation like this, essentially, you know, it's a delayed resolution of some sort. So finally, the G natural is the next chord tone he hits on the downbeat. And you could argue a lot of this approach here, you know, leads you into that 9 of the C7 here, right? And then finally, he hits more chord tones and lands on that G natural on beat 2. So again, for the whole line for that G7 bar, and again, this is bar 7 from letter F from the transcription here of the image that you're probably watching along. 9, 7, 5. And then he just continues down the scale to get to the 3. Right, another common arpeggiated line with a little scalar motion at the end to resolve into the 3. Right, so if it's not a bebop approach, it's probably an arpeggiation of some sort. If it's not an arpeggiation of chord tones, it's probably arpeggiation of some sort of voicing, like a 9 rootless voicing. If it's not some sort of arpeggiation, it's just scalar motion that's happening of the mode. That's really it. That's how bebop works. Right? Now, obviously, there's some extensions that are happening. So what happens here? Jumps up to the flat 9. He goes to chord scale below, half step below, into the 5 of the 1 chord, right? And he has this cool little thing. So again, that's just the bebop approach right there. You have the flat 9, bebop approach, chord scale below, half step below, the 5, which is a chord tone, obviously, half step below, chord tone, half step below, chord tone, 5. All right, so let's walk back through all that slowly and start to really kind of put it together. So again, he starts on the root, the 5 of the E7 chord. He's thinking 5 of E7, and he's going to move down to the 3rd. Scalar motion, 3rd, arpeggiation. Arpeggiation here, right? Now he gets he uses a bebop approach to land, to move him into the A minor. So chord scale below, half step below, 5, arpeggiation down the quarter tones. Jumps up to the flat 9. He connects the bebop approach he's about to use with one note, the root. Chord scale above, half step below, into the 3rd of the G minor. Jumps down, to more chord tones, more chord tone arpeggiation. Lands on the 13 here, outlines a voicing. 13, 3, flat 9, flat 7, jumps up to the 9. Finally resolves to the 3rd, right? Just uses a bebop approach here. 3, 5, 7, 6. Right, so again, more arpeggiation up to the 7 there, down to the 6. And then here, again, he's thinking 9 of the A7 leading into the 3rd of the A7. Right? Jumps down to the flat 9 of the A7. Root, bebop scale. So the bebop scale is the passing tone. Half step below into the 3rd. 5. Okay, 2 chord tones. Takes a pause. So again, this is a nice little line over D minor to lead you into the 3rd of the G. Again, he's just coming down. The scalar mode adds in, right? A bebop approach there to get him into the 3rd. Again, more arpeggiation of chord tones. Goes up to the 9 this time. Okay. slides into the third with a half step below approach, lands on the nine with the bebop approach. I think I'm gonna sneeze, but maybe not. Hopefully not. 9, 7, 5. Again, more chord tones. Just a chord scale above resolution into that E. Again, you can think of it as chord scale above or just a scalar motion step. Jumps back up to the flat 9. More bebop approaches. Again, more bebop approaches, right? Half step below, third, half step below, root. Okay? That's where we're going to end today. Because I'm going to break this up into a couple of different parts to analyze everything that we've talked about. But again, what do you notice? He's using bebop approaches at the ends of the lines to connect chords. So the bebop approaches usually are at the ends of the lines that he's using, and it leads him into the next chord, the chord tone. He's using lots of chord tone arpeggiations and lots of different types of chordal arpeggiations too. So obviously, if he's going to arpeggiate, he doesn't just arpeggiate from the root. He might arpeggiate from the third going up to the nine. He might arpeggiate from the third going up to the seven over the G minor, coming back down. He lands or starts lines on extensions, flat nines, 13s, right? And it's obviously using small bebop approaches all over the place to resolve into the next chord to help him land on those chord tones. Because again, the chord tones is what emphasizes the harmony. They're the anchors of the chord, right? They're the chord tones. Those four notes literally produce the sound of the chord. So wouldn't it make sense to actually reflect those notes in your solo on, you know, prominent beats, meaning downbeats when the chord changes? Absolutely it would. And the bebop approaches that I've explained in the last three episodes are utilized, right, to build tension and then resolution. Tension and resolution, right, to move through the harmonies. That's what bebop is, okay? So again, play this solo, learn it, study it. I'm going to keep going over more parts of this solo, but hopefully that was really helpful. I hope, you know, after everything I've taught in the last four episodes on bebop, really, the matrix is starting to open your eyes right now, and you're starting to really be like, oh my God, it's really not that hard. Now, playing it in a spontaneous fashion, that's difficult. That's a whole nother ballgame. How do we practice spontaneity? How do we practice bebop approaches, scalar motion, arpeggios, so we can have it come out in a spontaneous motion? You know, there is a system, there is a strategy to doing that, but just the learning it and understanding it is key. It's your first step to being able to get your spontaneity happening, right, in your solos and being able to do this. Hope you guys enjoyed that. I'll talk to you soon.